Good evening, everyone. Please do grab a seat. And will you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 13? And we're on page 819, if you've got one of the church Bibles. While you're arriving at Matthew 13, let me take this opportunity to thank many of you for being there yesterday at my ordination, baking sweet treats, helping out and making the day such a joyful and encouraging time. Let me pray for God's help as we turn to His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking through your Son. As we listen now, please grow our faith, steady our hearts, and help us to see your kingdom clearly. For Jesus' sake, amen. And we're still in Matthew 13, where Jesus teaches in parables to explain the reality of God's kingdom. 2 weeks ago, in the parable of the sower, we saw why the same message meets such different responses. Last week, in the parable of the weeds, we saw why evil persists in the world, even though Jesus is king. And tonight, in 2 short parables, Jesus shows us what to expect of his kingdom's growth. So we're reading verses 31 through 35. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." He told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened." All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world." If God's kingdom really has come in Jesus, why does it often look so small? That was the challenge for the disciples. They had left their nets, their tax booths, their families to follow Jesus. They believed he was God's long-promised king, but what did they see? A carpenter from Nazareth, not a general on a war horse. They saw crowds drifting, Pharisees hardening, John the Baptist, the warm-up act, the forerunner himself, sitting in prison wondering if he'd backed the wrong horse. It didn't look like much of a kingdom. And Matthew's first readers would have felt the same, scattered across the Roman Empire, outnumbered and opposed. No palaces, no armies, no emperors wearing their banner, just small gatherings of ordinary believers clinging to Jesus' words while the world rolled its eyes. And if we're honest, we feel it too. People talk about a quiet revival in the UK, headlines about more people coming to church, especially younger people, and we thank God for that interest. But let's also be realistic. Curiosity is not the same as repentance and faith. In Scotland today, around 3%, and that's probably being a bit generous, attend a Bible-believing church. Here in St. Andrews, there are thousands who've never even heard that God's King has come to save them from their sins. That doesn't feel much like a kingdom either. So maybe you've asked the question, is this really it? Is this how God is going to change the world? 100 or so people in a rented hall with sickeningly red chairs and decor. Ordinary people opening a Bible and praying together. It doesn't look like much. And that's exactly why Jesus tells these parables. In chapters 11 and 12, Matthew has shown us how the kingdom advances but is opposed. And now in chapter 13, the parables interpret that reality. They're not quaint stories, but secrets revealed to steady disciples, to comfort us, to equip us, and keep us going in the task of making disciples in a hostile world. And this is the encouragement. This is how God loves to work. Every human life begins as a single cell, a caterpillar, clumsy and unremarkable and quite tasty if barbecued and seasoned correctly in the right Peruvian village, but silently being rewired into a butterfly. An acorn fits in your hand but carries the blueprint of an oak that will stand for centuries. Small beginnings, hidden processes, unstoppable growth. And that's exactly what Jesus says here in our parables. It's not hard to see the point of these parables. The mustard seed is the smallest of the garden seeds, so tiny it's almost dust between your fingers. And yet, from those seemingly insignificant beginnings, it grows into a tree where birds perch and nest. Yeast or leaven looks so ordinary, so unimpressive, a pinch of powder, and yet once it's mixed in, it works invisibly, silently, until it transforms the whole lump of dough. That's the reality Jesus wants us to grasp. His kingdom may look small and hidden, but it grows irresistibly, transforms deeply, and one day will be revealed in all its might and glory. 3 points on the handout. I hope that's helpful to you. And firstly, don't be put off by small beginnings. God's kingdom will grow. We read in verse 31, Jesus saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed." I looked on Amazon this week, and you can buy a bag of mustard seeds for about £2. Hillary stopped me from buying some, which was wise. I don't know what I would have done with them. They're about 1 millimeter in diameter. You wouldn't be able to see it between my fingers if I was holding it right now. Honestly, if I dropped it from the pulpit tonight, we'd never find it again. But give it time, and that speck becomes a huge garden plant. From 1 millimeter in diameter to 10, 12 feet tall, some growing up to 30 feet tall. For perspective, a giraffe grows to be about 20 feet tall. And if we're talking in terms of volume, 760 million times bigger. I asked a couple of the mathematicians to help me with that. But Jesus puts it this way in verse 32. A tree so big, the birds of the air come and make nests and perch in its branches. From almost nothing to something vast, unmissable, and life-giving. And I think that tree imagery is important, because in the Old Testament, mighty empires were compared to great trees where the nations sheltered. Pharaoh in Egypt in Ezekiel 31, Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon in Daniel chapter 4. Their kingdoms looked permanent and indestructible, but every single one of them toppled, their trees cut down. By contrast, Jesus says, "My kingdom may look small now, just a carpenter, a handful of fishermen, a scattering of ordinary disciples, but it will grow into the greatest tree of all." And unlike Egypt or Babylon or insert modern superpower today, this tree will never fall. Its branches will stretch to the ends of the earth, and the nations will come streaming in to find shelter. But let's be honest, at the time, it didn't look like much. Even Jesus' most ardent followers would have admitted at this stage it didn't look like much. His teaching was profound, his miracles undeniable, but the crowds were drifting. Lots of superficial interest. Very few were following Jesus into the house and hungry to ask their questions and find out more. But just a few years later, around 30 AD, Jesus of Nazareth was executed like a criminal, abandoned even by his closest friends. From the cross, his mission looked like failure. His kingdom, like a mustard seed, buried in the ground, but weak, ineffective, and defeated. But don't be fooled by appearances, because the seed was alive, and on the third day, it burst out of the soil. The risen Jesus gathered his disciples, about 120 in total. 6 weeks later, 3,000 were added in a single day. Soon, the word of God was spreading in Jerusalem, then Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. By the year 49, it had reached India. By 61, it was in China. 3 centuries later, one church father could say, "The power of gospel preaching has subdued the whole world." From one tiny seed. And imagine being able to tell those first hearers, hey, 2,000 years from now, there will be more than 2 billion people across the globe who claim the name of Jesus. His word will be translated into over 5,000 languages. The gospel will leap from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Imagine telling them about the missionary movement, about ordinary men and women who left home to carry this seed across continents. My mother lived in the middle of nowhere in the Peruvian rainforest and was told about Jesus by Dutch missionaries. Incredible, isn't it? It started with a dozen blokes saying, "Can you please explain to us what you mean, Jesus?" And imagine telling them about a place they'd never heard of, Scotland. Some of you come from towns like Forres and Largs and Campbelltown and Portree. Imagine telling them that in the east nook of Fife, of all places, people from across the world would be crammed again into an unpleasantly red little hall, singing praises to King Jesus. From Jerusalem to South America, from the Middle East to the highlands, the branches of this tree have already stretched out across the nations. The seed is still alive, growing, and according to Jesus, nothing can stop it. That's the point of the parable. Don't be put off by small beginnings. The kingdom of heaven is unstoppable. And it's good for us to hear this, isn't it? Because here in Scotland, the gospel doesn't look like much. I used to walk down the Royal Mile in Edinburgh after my classes at seminary and sometimes get a little bit sad from thinking deeply about the Bible and praising God for Jesus in the classroom to a seeming ocean of people who are saying and believing and living in all kinds of ways that are contrary to Jesus' words. In St. Andrews, most of your friends and neighbors don't know Christ as King. We're super encouraged, aren't we, when churches are planted or when some of our students get baptized in Castle Sands. Those things are incredible. They're hugely encouraging. But it hardly looks like some great unstoppable force as somebody looks at the recording they took from above Castle Sands as they're witnessing our singing, "Be Thou My Vision." Pressure groups, ideologies seem far stronger. They grab the headlines, filling our classrooms, shaping our culture. The church, it just limps along. But here's the reminder, and we'll sing this later. Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one king reigning over all. The kingdom of Jesus lives on. The seed still contains the same power it always has. And one day, this mustard tree will be vindicated as the only kingdom left standing. So don't be discouraged. Don't lose heart by smallness now. Don't be put off when God's kingdom looks unimpressive. From a seed in the ground to the tree that fills the earth, that's the story Jesus tells. That's the story we're part of. And second in our outline, trust the hidden work. God's word transforms everything. Jesus gives a second picture in verse 33. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. I'm no baker. I've never baked bread. I love bread. My love for baked goods was mentioned last Sunday morning by Paul from the front. My own father mentioned my enjoyment of food several times in his speech at my ordination yesterday. I'm okay. I'm over it. As a non-baker, it's easy to miss the shock value here. Three measures of flour are mentioned. That's about 50 or 60 pounds, enough to bake bread for more than 100 people, and the yeast, just a pinch. You can't see it once it's kneaded in, I'm reliably told. But leave it long enough, and the whole lump is transformed, every last bit. And that's the point. The kingdom doesn't just grow in size like a mustard seed becoming a tree. It transforms from the inside out, quiet, hidden, irresistible. You see, this is the way Jesus works in people. A word spoken, a sermon heard, a Bible opened with a friend, and slowly, almost imperceptibly, a heart begins to soften. Desires shift, habits change, old bitterness starts to melt away, love takes root where there was indifference, faith begins to flower, the yeast works through the dough. But it can feel slow, can't it? If you've walked with Jesus for any length of time, you know the frustration. Why am I not changing faster? Why do I still struggle with the same sin? Or maybe you've prayed for someone for years and seen almost nothing. Is God really at work? And yet here's what keeps us going. Every time you share the gospel or open God's word, you are kneading yeast into the dough. Parents praying with children at bedtime. An older saint faithfully interceding for family who seem far off. Speaking of Jesus with a colleague, a single person opening their home in hospitality, a student stumbling through a question at CU. None of it looks dramatic, but every time you hold out Christ, God's Spirit is at work, and you see it all the time if you've got eyes to notice. I've had the joy of sitting across the table doing Christianity Explored with a friend. Week by week, it seemed nothing was happening. But then, after 6 or 7 weeks, slowly and surely, eyes were wide and heart seemed awakened. Jesus wasn't just a name anymore. He was Lord and Savior. I had nothing to do with it. I got to sit there, sip my coffee, and praise God. That's the yeast working through the dough. And one of the greatest privileges of my ministry over the last 5 years is getting a front row seat as God quietly changes his people. Week by week, opening the Bible with you one-to-one, you see it. The Spirit using his word to shape character and challenge priorities and soften hearts. Sometimes you hardly notice it in the moment, but then you look back over a year or two, and it's extraordinary. Someone who was once consumed with doubt and spiritual insecurities, now boldly inviting a friend to read the Bible. Someone overwhelmed by church to the point of not wanting to come becomes a life group leader. Someone weighed down by bitterness is learning to forgive that sister or brother in Christ. Someone anxious and restless is beginning to find real peace and contentment in Jesus. That's the yeast working its way through the dough. And as individual lives are changed, communities are changed, families are renewed, whole cultures can be reshaped. Think of the early church, a tiny, persecuted minority armed with nothing but God's word and prayer. By the fourth century, the world's greatest empire had been turned upside down. And that same quiet power is at work today in countries like Myanmar that we prayed for earlier, in small villages and big cities, in living rooms and coffee shops, hidden but unstoppable. Which is why this parable doesn't just comfort us, it equips us. Matthew's first readers were about to scatter into the world with nothing but Jesus' word, tasked with making disciples of all nations. They needed confidence that their witness would not be wasted. And so do we. Whether you're a parent longing for your children to trust Christ, or you're praying faithfully for family who are far off, seeking to live distinctively at work or surrounded by uni friends who don't believe, don't give up. Trust the hidden work. The kingdom advances not by flash or force, but by God quietly using his people's words and lives to bring others to Christ. So don't despise the small beginnings. Don't give up when growth feels slow. Trust the hidden work. The kingdom of heaven has a power in it that no ideology, no philosophy, no empire can match. God's word transforms everything it touches. And third and finally, hear the hidden things. God's plan has been revealed in Jesus. Shall we read the final verses again, verses 34 and 35? All these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Matthew pauses to show us something staggering. Jesus isn't just spinning stories, he's fulfilling scripture. He quotes Psalm 78, a psalm where Asaph, God's prophet, recounted Israel's history in parables to show how God had been working all along, even when his people didn't see it. The psalmist looked back, but now Jesus looks forward. He's not just retelling old stories. He's revealing new realities, mysteries hidden since the foundation of the world, now revealed in him. And here's the mystery. The kingdom of heaven doesn't come with pomp and spectacle. It comes like a seed. It grows like yeast. It looks weak. It looks hidden. But it is ultimately unstoppable. That is God's plan for the world, spoken from of old, revealed now in Jesus. But of course, the kingdom is not just a concept, and the mystery is not just an idea. At the heart of both is a person, Jesus Christ himself. And all through Matthew, we've been seeing it. Jesus is the king who fulfills the promises and predictions of Scripture. He's the son of David, born to reign. The son of man who suffers. The son of God who saves his people from their sins. He lived the life we could not live. He died the death we deserve. He was buried on Friday, but on the third day he rose in power. And now he reigns at the Father's right hand. And one day he will return to judge and to save. The kingdom grows because the King lives. The mystery is revealed because Christ has come. And that's why these parables divide. For the crowds, they remained riddles. They heard the surface story but missed the secret. But for the disciples, for those who drew near, who leaned in, who asked for understanding, the mystery was revealed. And so the question presses in on us again this week. Are you listening? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Because this is about eternity. If you're not yet a Christian, don't miss this. The King who was crucified now reigns. His kingdom that looked so small will one day fill the earth. The mystery is revealed to invite you in, to repent, to believe, and to take your place in the kingdom. And if you are a follower of Jesus, here's the encouragement again. You're not in the dark. You don't have to guess what God is doing in the world. The plan is revealed. The King has spoken, which means we can press on with confidence, even when the kingdom looks weak. Because appearances deceive, but the King's word does not. So hear him. Hear with faith. Hear so that his word steadies you in mission, comforts you in suffering, strengthens you in your witness. This isn't just the perfect Sunday school lesson because of the potential for props. This is reality revealed in Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen King. So what do we do with these parables? Jesus' point couldn't be clearer. Don't be fooled by appearances. Don't be put off by small beginnings. Don't lose heart when the work feels hidden. God's kingdom may look weak now, but its growth and triumph are guaranteed. And Scripture piles promise upon promise to reassure us of that truth. The mustard seed that looks so small will become a tree filling the earth. And in the new creation, Revelation 22 speaks of a tree standing by the river of life, its leaves healing the nations, its branches are a home for all of God's people. That hope steadies us when the kingdom feels opposed and outnumbered. And that the yeast that works invisibly through the dough is just like God's work, God's word at work in us. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, and some of us will see that this week at life groups, that the good work he has begun in you, he will bring to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. He says in 2 Corinthians 3 that we are being transformed into Christ's likeness with ever-increasing glory. You may not see it day to day, but the yeast is alive and the Spirit is at work. And it's not just individuals, it's whole families, whole communities. Even whole cultures are transformed when God's people keep living distinctively in light of these eternal truths. Peter says in his first epistle, live godly, honorable lives among the pagans, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God when Jesus returns. Hidden work, yes, by ordinary Christians, but it leads to visible glory when people bow before Christ and join his kingdom. And don't forget the harvest Jesus promised. Matthew 13 has already shown us the wheat will be gathered safely into the barn, but the weeds won't last forever. God's people will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. One day, by faith, one day faith will be sight, and the small and hidden kingdom will be revealed as the only kingdom left standing. So take heart, and stay confident, and keep sowing the word, keep trusting its power, keep pressing on in mission. The kingdom of heaven will grow until the whole earth is full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who has revealed the mysteries of your kingdom. Thank you that what looks small and hidden now is actually unstoppable and will one day be revealed in glory. Give us patience when growth feels slow, and courage when opposition feels strong, and confidence that your word never fails. And fix our eyes on that day when your people will shine like the sun and your kingdom will fill the earth forever. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.